Ugly ain't the half, look at you. Well, you got blue teeth and you only got two teeth, but I kinda like to see you smile. And it appears that over the years you've turned into a big old steaming pile. And she said, yeah, I know I ain't no supermodel. I said, you ain't a hand model, baby, but that's fine.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is a recorded jury podcast. No live version of this. I'm on the road, but we can't let things go a week without a podcast. So we're going to do a little something special. Every once in a while, I've done interviews on the show. It's usually an informal kind of chat. This is a little something extra on top of it, a little preamble. The closest I have ever gotten to therapy was one summer and fall in college when I watched baseball. I followed a Yankees team with a buddy of mine who was a Yankees fan. Every step of the postseason. It was a postseason where Pedro threw Don Zimmer. And we just sat and talked about life while watching baseball, because baseball is by far the most conversational of all sports. If you watch baseball on a regular basis with a friend, you will know that friend inside and out more than any watching and bonding over any other sport. So we're going to bring that relaxed atmosphere to this, a playoff game against the Chicago Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals, game four of that series, an elimination game for the Cardinals, with my good friend and maybe the most tolerable version of the strain they call Cardinals fans, the one and only Tomas Merritt. Tom Merritt, thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me, Justin, and thank you for letting me dual purpose the beginning of this show with my weekly YouTube vlog, What's Happening Tuesday, and explaining what's happening on Tuesday.
So, all right, this is a vlog you do?
Yeah, I put up usually once a week, just kind of what's the significant event of the week.
What's cracking?
Yeah, this is what's cracking around the Maripad.
What's cracking now?
We're doing your podcast.
We're doing the show.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. Okay, that's over with.
Good.
Efficiency.
Now we can get to the... I was joking with Tom because we're literally just sitting around watching a baseball game, and I'm like, oh, man, what if we just knocked out the jury podcast right now? It's like, yeah, we're going to use every part of this Buffalo.
That's right.
And God damn it if we ain't. Now you filmed a YouTube. So this is going to be very... spoilers if you don't want to know how this baseball game turns out.
Yeah, if you taped the Cubs-Cardinals game on your VCR
and
to
you're
watch
like,
later tonight.
Crap, I want to get to it, but after this jury podcast...
Yeah, that's not going to work for you.
And otherwise, if you are doing that, then congratulations, you'll be able to sync it up. We are coming back from a commercial break during this TBS broadcast. This isn't going to be a live stream of the baseball game, by the way.
We can't rebroadcast the accounts and descriptions of the game without the express written permission of Major League Baseball and the Chicago Cubs.
Can we Snapchat the commissioner to see whether or not this is cool?
We should find out.
Slide into the commissioner's DMs and see whether
Manfred
or not
Mann.
This is...
What's happening? Give us some express written permission.
Yeah.
Wait, if he Snapchat'd us back, would that count as express written permission? I guess it'd just be express permission.
If he chats it.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be able to do it just as a picture or a video.
Express chatted permission.
He would have to write it, yeah. But here we go. All right, so Travis Wood is up. If you want, I don't know, God knows who would want to sync this up with the game, with a replay of the game. But Travis Wood is pitching right now for the Cubs.
From the stretch.
And it is the top of the fifth. The score is Chicago Cubs 4, St. Louis 2, should the score hold. The St. Louis Cardinals, with their best record in baseball, would be eliminated. So, what's going on in your life, Tom?
Pain, agony. I mean, I can't complain too much as a Cardinals fan. Cardinals have been making the postseason regularly for the past 5 years. They've won a World Series recently.
Yeah.
The Cubs, as I am eager to point out, have not won a World Series since 1908.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to complain.
Also,
about
these
the
these teams and the dearly departed Pirates, who had the second best
record in baseball.
Don't you think
we should go back to the old days where the best record just won the pennant?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case. No, I think that, listen, we could get into a very nitty-gritty baseball podcast. Then.
Do you like the DH?
No, I mean, but all these teams are very close. You know, the Cardinals won 100 games, the Pirates won 98 games, and the Cubs won 97, which are all insane win totals.
And they're all from the Central Division.
Yeah, and they all played in the same division, and so it's. I'm glad they all made the playoffs. I wish that the Pirates and Cubs were able to play more than one game in what is essentially a coin flip.
All kidding aside, because I generally take a very firm stance against the Chicago Cubs as a Cardinals fan. But this is historic. The Cubs and the Cardinals have never met in postseason.
Really?
Of course, postseason play didn't begin until the 60s. Yeah, yeah. You know, and the Cubs haven't had a lot of success in the latter half of the 20th century in the first 15 years of the 21st. But yeah, they've never met in postseason play. So and one of the storied rivalries in baseball. Going all the way back to the Chicago Colts and the St. Louis Brown Stockings. Cap Anson's Colts.
I'm glad I was able to head off that nitty-gritty baseball podcast.
By the way, well, let me bring it into a more sociological perspective.
Okay.
Cap Anson, who is one of the storied Chicago Cubs. He was the one, the Chicago Cubs were called the Chicago Colts because they were Cap's Colts back in the late 1800s. He is the reason that the color barrier was put into place in baseball.
Because he was really racist?
I think it was in Toledo.
Yeah.
Where he refused to allow his team to take the field because Toledo was fielding a black player.
Ah. Yeah, history doesn't look kindly upon those
Something
points.
That I like to point out to Cubs fans regularly. And let me just be clear. Plenty of racism in St. Louis has passed. There's, you know, I'm not going to claim that anybody's team's history is clean.
A fairly relevant topic in the St. Louis and the surrounding environs, right?
For sure. Just want to head that one off at the pass.
Sure. All right. So we've covered your hatred for the Cubs, their historic racism, and we are now looking at 0-2, top of the fifth, the Cubs dealing. I wasn't kidding about what's going on in life, because I do want this to be a wide range.
Sure.
This is what I love about baseball, is that baseball has this kind of
the pace
where it's like you basically baseball is a conversational aid, because whenever there is a dead spot, there's usually like a nice pitch or like, oh, wow, almost got that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always a moment just to break up a dead spot in the conversation. But what's going on in your life? What's at the top of your mind these days?
Well, just developing the shows that I do is what's keeping me busy during the day. We cut the cord.
Yeah.
So kind of navigating the waters of no direct TV has been surprisingly easy.
I think that we're ready to cut the cord, by the way. Yeah, I think we're going to wait for the new Apple TV just because, like, I want a more robust, like, cord-cutting machine.
Well,
because we don't have an Xbox. All we have is a Roku. And I like the direction that the new Apple TV was going in. And I like where it is as a, like, almost like Alexa-esque, you know, kind of
the
living
one
room robot.
A Roku can get you almost all the way there. The essential for us was good over-the-air reception, which you either have or you don't. That's not something you really do that much about. If you don't have it, that causes a problem.
Yeah.
And then a DVR for your over-the-air stuff.
And so that, yeah.
Because to me, the Roku, I mean, what Apple TV gets you now is possibly new services that are coming. And the Apple ecosystem, where you can order a season pass from Apple instead of ordering it from somebody else. But honestly, you can do it all with Roku.
Yeah, and we have
not
all
to get
Roku.
All cord killers about.
No,
it.
No, yeah. Hey, listen. By the way, cord killers available for free every Monday. Yeah, you know, I think we're just in a really interesting place, and I think we touched on this when we were doing the Daily Tech News Show with Garrett talking about the Counter-Strike League that they're doing. that we – there is a very good chance that what Turner and TBS is doing is putting out a very, very, very internet-friendly piece of programming that they do not expect to do well on television, which is why they're kind of putting it in a graveyard slot of Friday, right? But in a a la carte universe, right, where you're deciding which channels you want to get, and one show could make that determination for you, the Counter-Strike League would be something that people would want to buy TBS. And like that's a really, if that's what they want to do, that's a very forward-thinking idea.
And what's interesting about TBS, we are watching this game on Sling TV on my Roku, which carries TBS.
Yeah.
The other way I've been watching the postseason is PlayStation View, which has Fox Sports 1, which has the other division series from the American League.
Yeah.
PlayStation View also has TBS.
Yeah.
So TBS is one of the companies, one of the very few, by the way, who's saying, yeah, we'll be there on these new cord-cutting services.
Well, and you got to figure that Turner knows what these internet numbers are because they're the backbone for a lot of the other services. Like they handle, I think, NBA's League Pass.
Yeah. I don't know that they do the back-end stuff. I can't remember what that relationship is, but yeah.
I feel like we did this. We had this conversation.
We did. We had this on one of the shows.
Yeah.
Because we dug into it when MLB AM took over NHL and HBO Now.
Yes.
We went into all the different ones, and I can't remember now what it was. It was Turner and another company handle NBA.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if Turner owned the other company or was a part owner in the other company or something.
I do know that they're, like, I once did a tour of the
CNN
Center.
And that was the company that used to do NHL, I think.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think so. I did a tour of the CNN facility, and there was, like, these massive server farms, and they were all there to handle basketball and NASCAR passes, basically. As well as a lot of the other remotes and everything. But I think Turner makes a lot of, I think that they get things in a very specific kind of way. But let's talk about you developing the shows that you're doing. How long have you been into Daily Tech News Show?
It's now a year and 10 months.
Where are you compared to where your expectations were when you first started it?
I am at cruising altitude with Daily Tech News Show. So I'm doing more, you know, a little bit more than what I wanted to do when I launched it. I have a clearer idea than I did when I launched of what it should be.
What did you think it was going to be when you launched
it?
I had
no idea.
Okay.
I'll be honest. When I launched it, I'm like, well, I'm going to do a daily show about tech news. So for now, I'm going to call it Daily Tech News Show. I didn't even mean that to be the permanent
title
of it. I was like, it might be, but I don't care if we change it. Mollywood had not been hired by the New York Times, right? So I'm like, well, maybe Molly and I can figure something out. Or maybe, Roger Chang, Veronica, Justin, who knows?
Like,
I was just all kind of discombobulated.
Is that something that you've talked about how close it came to that you were to,
no, I haven't,
to the Mollywood thing? There were conversations, that's safe to say.
She was in between jobs at the time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're friends. We were talking about all kinds of stuff.
You have an established brand.
And here's the thing, and I don't want to say too much because it's Molly's story as much as mine.
Yeah.
But at the time, she's like, well, I have this possibility of the New York Times. And then, of course, you know, as our conversation, as it got closer to me having to launch a show,
yeah,
she got more into the interview process.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it was always this sort of like, well, you know, let me see what happens with that. Because, I mean, nobody was going to say, no, Molly, you should turn down the freaking New York Times to do some BS bootstrap.
Because David Polk had left.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was weird, right? It was like what a weird phases of the moon thing that you are out at Twit. She decides it's time to leave CNET.
She had decided that a couple months before. So she was just kind of
freelancing.
She was taking some time off doing some freelancing, planning a book.
So she was, but that is there, and that in a different world might have come together if it weren't for the fact that the New York Times parts ways with David Polk, their superstar tech columnist.
Right.
Like what a weird series of events.
Who goes to Yahoo to work for Rafe Needleman, who used to co-host Buzz Out Loud with Molly Wood. Yeah, so
yeah,
anyway.
You want to know? I hear
so when it started.
By the way,
I was still
just real quick. So I happened to be at CNET recently, and I walked into the studio where you guys did Buzz Out Loud.
Oh, Studio B.
Studio B. And you know, the person who was walking around with me was like, "Oh, this is where they did Buzz Out Loud." And I'm like, "I know." In fact, like I should really take a picture and just group chat literally everyone who's ever done Buzz Out Loud. But no, you guys are revered as like gods there.
Oh, please stop.
They are. You are.
That's because we left.
Yeah.
If we stayed there,
you would just be guys.
Makes the heart go fonder.
But all right, so when you start, there's that possibility. You don't know what form this show is going to take. And did that inform, you know, the very sort of like, it felt like through the first 6 months specifically, Daily Tech News Show was you just on a discovery of what you wanted new Daily Tech News Show to be.
Totally. I started, and I don't think I've ever talked about this before, not that it's a secret, but I started simply saying, here are the parts of tech news today that I do.
Yeah.
I'm going to do those.
Yeah.
And get someone else, you know, by hook or by crook to join me each day so I'm not talking to myself.
Yeah.
And see where it goes. Because, again, I'm like, I kind of knew by the time I launched it, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to be doing a show with Molly, but I don't know who I could be doing a show with. And let me just start doing something and see how it goes. Because that actually worked really well for Buzz Out Loud. When we started Buzz Out Loud, nobody knew podcasting. It was brand new. It was less than a year old. And so we were just trying to, you know, experiment. And I was like, I'll just do that again. I write like 4 headlines every day for Tech News Today out of the 10. So I'll write a couple more. I'll write 6. And that I said, I'll write at least 6 headlines every day. And I'll give those headlines. And then I do 2 discussion topics. So I'll do 1 or 2 discussions every day on DTNS. And that'll be like me not adding any more than I already do. That's how I set it up. And I was like,
also, where in this is the Patreon launch?
It hasn't launched yet.
So yeah, so this is all
I'm doing it for free.
Yeah, pre Patreon.
Basically, my financial situation at the time was, well, Tech Republic says they'll hire me to do 5 apps, so that's money that will come in someday.
Yeah,
because I hadn't even started shooting them yet, which I ended up shooting those by the end of the month. But that's all I had. Cord Killers was making, actually, I take that back. Cord Killers Patreon launched at the end of December. So we already
Cord
seeing...
Killers launched before
Daily
Tech News.
Yeah, we did 2 beta
show.
Episodes of Cord Killers in December.
Yeah.
And we launched the Patreon right in the last week of December, but
were
didn't
you
charge
doing
people
Cord
for
Killers
anything.
While you were still on
Right, because Frame Rate got
News
canceled.
Today. Yeah.
So we went ahead and we did beta episodes, and we didn't charge people for them.
So basically, yeah, okay, I'm just trying to remember, you know, the foggy days of war. So Frame Rate immediately upon the decision for you and Twit to part ways happens, Frame Rate immediately gets canceled.
Right.
You start doing Cord Killers the next week. That Patreon is the first of the Patreons
to
launch.
We haven't made any money from that Patreon, but we're seeing the subscribership, the pledges.
And also, it is... And this is from Patreon. That was the first of the podcasting element of Patreon to really, really take off,
right.
Which has helped, you know, contributed to them being the company that they are today. But anyway, so you're doing that. So at least you see an element of what something like this could do, but you still are legging out your last month on Tech News Today.
Right.
And then at that point, that ends and you are... just feeling out what you want to do for Daily Tech.
Yeah, and I started the blog, and I started pointing people to it the end of December. I put out like a 30-second audio thing saying, here's what it's going to be, basically saying, I don't even know what it's going to be, but this is what I'm going to try. I didn't launch the Patreon for it till like the 3rd week in January, I want to say. It was like later in January.
Yeah.
Maybe mid-January. So it was just. I knew what I was capable of doing every day, and I was like, I'll just do that. I'll bring in a guest and try stuff.
Did you ever think about doing it as a one mic show?
No, because I had done The Real Deal on CNET as a one man show.
Yeah,
and that was hard and bad, and I didn't think I. You know, this no kidding, man. You doing a one man show is amazing to me. Like, the ability, I've tried that. That is hard. I'm not saying I would never do it again, but it's really difficult. And especially if I want to do something daily and something where I have to research, I was not going to try that. Because what you do with your one-man show is impressive.
A daily show is
I don't think people
really
understand
hard.
How hard it is.
A daily you show think, is really, 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 really
It's like
really
anything.
Hard.
People are like, well, it's so hard. You just get up there and talk. Like, you get up there and talk and try to figure out something to say. With The Real Deal, The Real Deal was supposed to be an investigation into a topic once a week.
Yeah.
And even then, I was like, God, I have to carry it all. I have to. It's not just the research, but I have to, like, wind my way through it. I think I could do it about something, but I know now why Dan Carlin doesn't do a show every week.
Yes.
You know, because he has to research it and carry it and know that he has a beginning, middle, and end.
There's a reason why in super informative stuff that's one mic is either very short and super long one mic stuff is opinion-based.
Right.
Because it's, you kind of can't have both. You can't have one mic and credibility and length.
And like, a lot of people think, well, there's so many one mic shows out there. You know, look at Leo Laporte on the weekends, and then look at Rush Limbaugh. They all take calls. Yep. They all have guests.
Yes. Or it's like in a lot of their cases, it's a lot of opinion.
Yeah.
You go into, you know, 30 minutes. If you can more easily make your opinion really good and blow it out, then you can go into a factual and not get anything wrong, like, diatribe of like, okay, well, this happened and this happened and this happened. What you really need to think of is this. That's almost impossible.
I mean, I could do a headline show that way.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, facts only.
But again, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, you know, talk radio for news is 10-10 wins.
Yeah.
Well,
and that's why when I do headline shows on my days off.
Yeah.
So like on holidays, I'll generally just whip together the headlines because I know I'm going to look at them anyway. And I'll put together, and it's like a 10, 15-minute show.
Yeah. So you never really thought about doing it as one mic. All of a sudden, you get into it, you launch the Patreon, you see. Did the Patreon surprise you? How much money came in as fast?
It didn't surprise me at first, because we had Cord Killers.
Yeah.
Right? So I was like, well, I think we'll get people.
Yeah.
What I didn't know was, like, how many people who've backed Cord Killers are not going to back Daily Tech News Show and crossover. I thought in my head, we'll probably get close to 10,000.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's achievable.
10,000 a month.
Like, that's our goal. I think that's what we'll hit. And I was like, maybe by June, we'll hit 10,000.
Because also, you had brought on Jenny.
Jenny was a friend of Molly's who was in on those conversations. And then because she happened to get, I mean, talk about stars aligning, because she happened to get laid off from Yahoo the same day I found out about getting let go from Twit.
Gotcha.
She was like, well, I got nothing else to do. And so there was an understanding at the beginning that it's like, well, I can't pay you in January, but I will cut you in on the Patreon, you know,
when that launches, and we'll see what that does.
And then what was amazing was, it went from like, well, here's how long I can work for you, Tom, without money before I have to actually get a job.
Yeah.
To, okay, so we'll just split the Patreon revenue. To, this is more than, you know, we really should like start bringing, we need help on this show. Let's start using some of this money. And that's when we set the contributor goals and everything.
So the one thing that I have always loved about your work through CNET, Twit, and now Independent is that you are someone that I've always admired who thinks in your thought process about form, that the form of a show really matters, especially daily, that there needs to be like this plugs into this, plugs into this. The segues, the transitions really, really matter. What was fascinating was to watch all that come together within the first 6 months of Daily Tech News Show.
Uh-huh.
Because for the first time in maybe the most volatile scenario, somebody that I had always, you know, very much admired the rigidity of the form was like, no, let's get experimental. Let's say, all right, well, we're going to do it like this, and then we're going to do it like this, and we'll just see whether or not things work or whether or not they fall apart.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because from a 10,000-foot view, the form's exactly the same as that first day, right? It's headlines,
yeah,
and then a discussion, and then emails. But when you get up close is when you see what you're talking about, because
yeah,
headlines went from like being a few minutes to really long, to being pulled back, to having comments, to not having comments. Like, within those big buckets that I just described, we tried lots of different things.
For the record, this substantive interview might be interrupted, because right now we are at the top of the sixth. There are two on for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Quick in this inning, too.
No outs, and the Cubs have gone to their bullpen. So if the Cards are going to strike, this seems to be the moment that it will happen.
And Grichuk, you know, he's good.
286. He is batting with a home run. So I will continue with my pressing questions as far as I can before this gets out of hand for the Cubbies.
Please get out of hand.
You've really worked a lot with the guests on DTNS, because that's the one big change from both CNET and Tech News Today, is in both of those incarnations of your Daily Tech News Show before it became the Daily Tech News Show, you had regular contributors. With Daily Tech News Show, you had a rotating panel of guests, with really only Darren Kitchen on Fridays kind of making the legacy transition from
right.
Every Friday guest on Tech News Today to every Friday guest on Daily Tech News Show. What did you learn about guests in that time that you know, has informed how you handle the show now?
Well, you know, what's interesting is I actually took stuff I learned from Buzz Out Loud and things I learned in the early days of Tech News Today and applied that in constructing my guest strategy for Daily Tech News Show.
What were those lessons?
Buzz Out Loud, there was a period of time where I was the only host, and we had rotating hosts of Natalie Morris, Molly Wood, Rafe Needleman, Brian Tong, whoever the other person
yeah.
is hates me now.
That's fine.
Because
yeah.
I can't remember.
Send all your hate mail to Tom.
But was it David Bell for a while? Anyway. Cooley. Brian Cooley.
Gotcha.
Yeah. He can hate me. It's fine. So I had experience with that and the problems that that caused.
Yeah.
That sort of inconsistency. And why that didn't really work all the time. I knew about the problems of having a remote host, because Natalie Morris was in New York, and for a while, Natalie and I co-hosted Buzz Out Loud. I knew about like trying different people out and figuring out their strengths, because in the early days of Tech News Today, it was Becky Worley 3 days a week, Sarah Lane 1 or 2 days a week, and Dr. Kiki one day a week. And I knew about integrating raw talent that was really smart, bringing Ayaz onto Tech News Today.
Absolutely.
So I actually had a pretty clear idea of I either wanted to have rotating guests or regular contributors. I knew I couldn't afford a single co-host, and
yeah.
that would be putting a lot of eggs in one basket. So I kind of knew that, okay, I'm going to bracket up. That's an option, but an option I probably can't take. And I knew, like, okay, I know what to do with contributors if I can afford that. And when the Patreon got to 10,000, I realized, you know, having the rotating guests is great. You get a lot of different perspectives, but it makes it harder to prepare the show, because you have to bring someone up to speed all the time.
Yes.
When you have regular contributors, you always have someone who's up to speed because they are there every week.
Yeah.
And then when you have a guest join them, it's not as much pressure on the guest to be a co-host. You can just interview them, and they can jump in when they want.
Which is so hard for people to realize, and especially, I mean, we wind up going to conventions where, you know, we talk to people who want to do podcasts or want advice on doing podcasts. That's one of the biggest second level lessons that you have to learn, is the expectation of what somebody on your show wants to do or feels comfortable doing or what, how you handling that expectation can make your show better or worse.
And you can hear it in early Daily Tech News shows where, like, one day I'll have, let's say, you on, right?
Yeah.
And you and I work together a lot. You know the form of the show, and it's just like, boom, boom, boom. We're moving through it like always. Then the next day I'll have somebody on who's a reporter, maybe doesn't do that much podcasting,
yeah,
isn't familiar with the show, and is very quiet, and I have to draw them out. I have to ask them, and you get the awkward pauses. And,
yeah.
And it's unfair to them. Because you're basically saying, look, you have to be my co-host for the show, even though that's not a thing you do.
Yeah. And that's really one of those things that is really, really, you know, I think showed the most in the headlines.
I mean, it's like asking Colton Wong to bring a runner home with two men on.
By the way, now that two men on, that rosy, nobody out, two men on scenario has now led to two outs, two on. For the Cardinals at bat, the Cubs relying on some strong middle relief here from Cahill.
Cahill. Spelled with a C, not a K. Thank you. What's up with that?
Clip? We mentioned the color barrier that the Cubs have put in place.
Have we talked about Cap Anson lately? Yeah.
But you found that with headlines where, you know, that is almost the quintessential Tom Merritt franchise element of a Daily Tech News show is the headlines, which is you reading clean news copy and then one or two people going back and forth on it and you adding either a, well, we should think of this point or a devil's advocate point based on the other person's opinion. And when it was guest dependent, it was just like you were asking them to, like, step into a dance that is very natural for the audience because they've been hearing you do this forever. You do it forever, and you can get really good stuff out of people. But I think you know, as the show evolved, found to be almost too quick for people to just, you know, if you're, like you said, they're a newspaper reporter. They don't know how this works. They don't know where is a good out is, where it's just like, well, I think that this is a sign of Windows further integrating instead of the whole 10-minute point that they could make about how Windows has been integrating more under Satya Nadella as opposed to Steve Ballmer, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a form thing that I think eventually you've hammered back into place, which is so weird because you're not dealing with the resources, you're not dealing with permanent co-hosts, and yet now in this version of DTNS, you pretty much have that with the weekly contributor.
Well, and what's interesting about the headlines thing is Buzz Out Loud used to be just headlines, not pre-prepared, but like, here's 10 stories, we talk about them. And then Tech News Today started putting like extra headlines at the end, thanks to Eric's suggestion.
Yeah.
And then we moved those back to the top later on. And then now it seems like it's a hybrid of the discussion section of Tech News Today with the headline treatment of Buzz Out Loud. Nice job, Tony Cruz.
Yeah. Tony Cruz knocks a little slipper single down the right field line, and we now have the Cardinals within one run and a man on second, man on third, with one more out to go in this inning for the Cardinals. But they finally get on the board after threatening for the majority of the inning.
Yeah, we should do this. Play by play, color.
We should. Yeah. You know, we're pretty good at it. We should have everyone be an actual interview as well. You know, that'll be our well, that'll be
I
our gimmick.
I wish I could remember who the player was. There was an injured player in the booth for I think an Orioles. No, it wasn't Orioles. It was a playoff game. But it wasn't the Cardinals. It was that's not it either, Sawyer. And he was answering a question about being injured.
Yeah.
And there was a play, and he just picked up. He's like, oh, and there's a ground ball to second, throw over to first, and they got him.
Yeah.
And the actual play-by-play people started laughing.
That he, like,
hey,
that
you're trying to take a
up.
Job here.
Oh, man, that's awesome. So, all right, so now you're here. I think how mature would you say Daily Tech News Show is on a scale of 1 to 100? How close to, and obviously no form is final, you know, you're always going to be able to make tweaks and changes to it, but how mature do you think this version of the show is?
I'd say 78%.
And what what is there to go? Like, what piece is there to change?
I think a lot of it is back-end stuff.
Yeah.
Like, just figuring out a sustainable production model.
And there we go, a looper.
Nice hit. Yeah. He's out.
Oh, and they get greedy on the run.
Tony Cruz got greedy.
Oh, but that does by the mid of the middle of the sixth.
Now we're tied.
It is 4-4, but Tony Cruz could have been a little bit more conservative and kept this going for the Cardinals. You got to figure that might haunt them. No, he got gunned. That's out. He's out.
Oh yeah, he was way behind the throw. I think he just misjudged the arm.
We're looking at it in slow motion.
Ooh, actually, he didn't slide straight either. Like, his foot was up. I think
it's
he might
close.
Have been trying to avoid the tag, but now he's out.
He's out.
Yeah.
He's out.
He's out. There's
he's
no,
out.
I'm out.
And
I'm
also
a Cardinals
the ref,
fan, and I'm saying he's out.
The ref had the good angle on that too. The ref. Yeah, the umpire. Sorry.
I mean, we really should standardize on officiating terms.
I mean, probably. So you would say back-end stuff for Daily Tech News.
Okay,
Show.
Yeah, part of it is back-end stuff. Like, for instance, if I go away, we scramble a little
yeah.
to figure out what to do. It's not that we can't figure it out, but we don't have a system in place. If Jenny goes away, we don't have a system in place. It's kind of like we need a little bit, not exactly redundancy, but just
yeah.
stuff like that. I want to get you guys, I want to get the contributors in more of a rhythm of like, and not to say you're not doing this, but like really. Like
I am actively working against
well, you're
getting
not,
the contributors
no, day
into
rhythm,
the rhythm.
I know, but just like always knowing like, hey, here's the topic that I think, you know, we should cover. Like,
yeah.
And it's getting there. And figuring out like, official, like one of the things I asked the patrons about recently was whether we could just make the video as it is official and work on different goals, and everybody wanted that. So now I'm talking about like special projects or an international edition, and that's not even improving, that's expanding.
So let's talk about that, the goals. One of the first goals that you hit was no ads, right? That was at what, 5 or 10?
That was at 10.
10,000 was no ads. It is my belief that nobody would care if there was an ad from a company that was non-controversial and that you weren't chasing it.
There are definitely people who have told me explicitly in surveys that they absolutely would have a problem with that.
That they're okay. So here's all right, and this is and I'm not for it, right? I think that like part of what is special about Daily Tech News Show is that it does not have ads, right? But there is a part of me that thinks that that there is not money left on the table, but like just if it was
right.
something that the most distasteful part about ads is that 1 week it's something very understandable, like unremarkable, just a good fit for the program, and then next week it's MeUndies, right?
When I before I hit that mark with the no ads, I was surprised by how many people wrote in saying no, please take ads.
Yes,
because they were afraid that I was shorting myself, I was leaving money on the table.
Yeah. So you found that is a huge that is still a huge thing with some of the surveys is that
yeah.
people are like no. I love this show because it doesn't have ads.
Yes.
What's
and
the most,
it was a financial calculation. I knew how much I could get in a CPM from a partner, and I knew how much I needed to get out of Patreon to exceed that. And I also made, you know, the honest opinion that what I could get out of Patreon was more without ads than what I could get out of Patreon with ads. Not that I couldn't get anything out of it.
Yeah.
But to say, you know, look, if I get this much from you, I don't have to ask for ads. And so I know more of you are going to be willing to back the show. And I think that continues to be true.
So you think that there is, because you can say,
I'll show you the survey.
I don't have ads, that drives people. Because like, there is a part of me that thinks, and obviously it's very hard to judge the actions that don't happen.
Sure.
Right? But that you would be able to get everything that you've gotten on Patreon and the just little bit of a some ad that maybe came in, came in at, the end of the show or something that wasn't.
Look, we've actually asked people, like, forget ads in the show.
Yeah.
We've said no ads in the show.
And that's it. Yeah.
If we were to do a sponsored event.
Yes.
Where someone, paid for the venue and they got to put a banner up, would you be comfortable with that? Lots of people would. Several people, a significant percentage of people would not even be comfortable with that.
Really?
Yeah.
So a DTNS event sponsored by Rackspace or something. Yeah. That's what is the most odious what is the most odious part of ads in your opinion? What drives people?
I don't know. And personally I don't have a problem with ads. And no. Sword and Laser, for instance, is Patreon funded. It doesn't currently have ads, but that's not because we don't want them.
Yeah.
And we might put ads on there in the future, right?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with ads. Do ads on a lot of shows. But I think what people like with a news program is the clarity that there is no connection between this show's content and a direct advertiser who said, hey, we're sponsored by Microsoft, and me having to say, no, just because we're sponsored by Microsoft doesn't mean we can't go to Apple stuff or whatever. They just like the cleanness of that.
So then,
in fact, there was one person who even complained about us promoting our own stuff at the end of the show. Now that I'm like, come on.
That's a bridge too far.
Yeah, we cannot unduly influence ourselves. So I expect there's because of that, though, I expect there's some people out there who just don't like hearing content that's not the show, too. And advertising is just clutter to them. Even promotions is clutter.
But then the picks, are the picks clutter?
Well, no. In fact, the picks, I added the picks to the show on purpose to address there were a few people who said, I get it with the ads, but the one thing about ads I like is it exposes me to things I wouldn't know about otherwise.
Yeah.
And so I added picks to be like, well, let's do that. Let's expose you to things you wouldn't know about otherwise without having somebody paid to do it.
Yeah.
And the way I explained it to people too is like, look, what we're doing is no different than ads.
Yeah.
When Squarespace pays for an ad on a show, they are paying for that ad with the premise that enough people who listen to that show will go give them money for their service.
Yeah.
And so there are a portion of the listeners of Squarespace-sponsored shows who pay Squarespace in order for you to get that show for free.
Yeah.
So it's money going to Squarespace, a cut of which goes to the show's creator. And that's fine. That's all great.
Yeah.
I had no problem with that. What I was saying with Patreon is what we're going to do is just cut out the middleman. Instead of some of you giving money to a sponsor, of which I get a cut.
We're going to say, you just
give the money to me directly.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend as much as you would on a sponsor, and I'll get more, and everybody wins.
But that would only be for the listener who believes that, I'm going to support this show by buying something that maybe I need, but I'll take a shot on.
Well, no, it would go for anybody who hears an ad and responds to it, right?
Yeah.
So it actually is less of a direct relationship because lots of people respond to those ads not out of some internal decision to want to support the show.
Yeah.
They just responding to ads because ads work.
Yeah.
And with Patreon and PayPal and the Daily Tech News Show store, everybody is, well, maybe not so much with the store, actually, but with Patreon and PayPal, everybody's doing it expressly because they
just because
the
they like the show, they want the show to keep going, that is what it is. But I guess the only thing that kind of makes me weird about that is that would on some level assume that your other ventures for which you've built a career on and necessitated the existence of Daily Tech News Show when you left Twit were somehow less than, right? Because they had ads. They were ad supported and now the show is better or more pure.
And that's why I don't try to make a big deal out of Daily Tech News Show is pure because we don't have ads.
Yeah.
It's the same show that I would always do.
It's high, it's long, it's far, it's gone.
Small
the Cubs.
Park. Goddamn small park.
Have just taken the lead 5-4.
At least we won't have extras.
Anthony Rizzo, solo
Man, Rizzo's
shot.
Tearing it up.
Second home run in the postseason.
Yeah. No, so I think what it is like, hey, it's just a different relationship.
Yeah.
You can have the relationship where it's ad-supported, and there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes that's better. Some people prefer that because then they don't have to think about it. They can just listen to a show, and if they happen to be affected by the ad, great. If not,
what's
whatever,
really funny is that right now, I'm very much rooting for Bill Simmons, who was let go by ESPN and has now restarted his podcast and reemerged as a, you know, a figure online because – although he's now with HBO doing a show, this podcast seems to be an independent creation of his. He's hosting it on SoundCloud. He's got a crappy URL like the rest of us. And he is taking literally every ad that seemingly will come to him because he does about 7 reads a podcast. And part of that I'm really excited about because, yeah, I have no use for MeUndies or Igloo, but I'm excited that he's, like, getting that money. And I don't know how much of that is informed by my universe, which is very much focused on independent creation, or if other people who just listen to things think of it like that and just are like, yeah, dude, get it.
Get that coin.
Especially coming out of something where it's like he came from a gigantic conglomerate where his world was very safe, and now as much as it can be for him into the roiling waters of independent media, it makes me feel good when other people who are doing that make money.
Listen, man, I got to get set up for Sword and Laser here in a few minutes.
Absolutely. All right. We've wrapped it up here for our baseball cast. This has nothing to do with the fact that Tom's team is now no longer winning and that Tony Cruz deciding to run from third is something that will haunt this team should they get knocked out of the playoffs today.
I mean, it's no Don Denkinger, but
Tom, Daily Tech News Show, FSL Tonight. Anything else that
the two most important ones?
What is the weirdest thing that you do that people do not know about?
That they don't know
that
about?
That people might be like, oh God, yeah, you do that. Would it be FSL?
FSL. Well, the people who follow you probably know about
probably
FSL.
Know what FSL is. Yeah.
There's East Meets West, which I've been doing now for 10 years this month.
Wow. How often?
We do it once a month now.
Yeah.
We used to do it more often. We did it weekly for a while. Now we just kind of do it when we feel like it, but we try to hit once a month. I do some brilliant news, although I haven't posted anything on it in probably years at this point. But yeah, subbrilliant.com/news. It's a parody news site that I have worked on and off since 1996.
God damn.
There you go.
Look at that. All right, everybody. If you'd like to email this show, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put jury in the subject line. You can follow me, Justin R. Young, on every platform that there ever was, including, but not limited to, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, Periscope. Of course, if you would like to support the show, you can go ahead on over to patreon.com/jury to do just that. If you find yourself watching a baseball game and interviewing one of your best friends, if you find yourself with your team not leading going into the 7th inning of an elimination game, ladies and gentlemen, remember this voice and Justin Robert Young telling you, please don't die.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.